Anyone who has ordered a plate of blackened, mangy-looking jerk chicken may get the sense that Caribbean cooking is fairly limited. And this goes for most of the English-speaking Caribbean. The cuisine is often lumped under an umbrella of stews, dumplings, and pineapple-strewn desserts. But Suzanne and Michelle Rousseau say there's so much more to island cooking. They are cooks and sisters, and their new cookbook, Caribbean Potluck, introduces us to a new way of thinking about food from their homeland. Roast snapper with lime and mojito oil, Callaloo strudel, and banana and coconut creme brulee. Suzanne and Michelle Rousseau join us now to talk about their new book. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you for having us. We feel very welcome.
And it's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, first I want to say that I like jerk chicken. I don't want to knock jerk chicken. But it's kind of a stereotype, right, of Caribbean food. And we should say, when you do approach jerk chicken, because you don't blow it off, you do things like lasagna, which I have to say, your entire section on pasta kind of blew me away. Pasta is not, to me, a Caribbean thing. What were you trying to do by merging these cuisines?
This is Michelle. I think that we've always had a natural love and an affinity for Mediterranean cooking. We think there are many aspects to the lifestyle that are very similar to a Caribbean lifestyle. We live and we eat outdoors. There's a celebration around food. There's sort of a zest for life and an appreciation and love of beauty and culture and fun and family. And I think at the end of the day, to define Caribbean food as only traditional preparations would be limiting the range of what you can do with the ingredients and what you can do with the cuisine, you know?
Okay, so one recipe I tried to make was a whole roast snapper with grilled lime in mojito oil. And I grew up eating whole snapper with my mom. Everyone kind of makes a classic meal. The mojito oil was good. But it was a lot to make. There's a lot of ingredients in this thing. What are some of the obstacles for people, you think, who may be afraid to approach this kind of cooking?
I think people want simple cooking, yes.
Because a whole snapper was not easy to deal with, I gotta say, or find.
Yes, whole snapper would be very difficult to find. But the thing about cooking is that a recipe for us is really a guide. And at the end of the day, that recipe works really well also with a snapper fillet, or it could be a mahi-mahi fillet. You know, the whole point of us doing a lot of those sort of things like the mojito oils and things like that is that they can keep for a while. And the recipes are really geared like that. You know, they can be pulled apart and then they can be put back together.
Well, thank you so much. It was really good. I wanted to drink the mojito oil, actually.
Exactly.
I was like, I got to save this for later. You're both born and raised in Jamaica, but the book is The Caribbean Potluck. Can you describe some of the threads, some of the themes that you saw, no matter what island you were on, that seemed to come up again and again in the recipes in the cuisine?
Suzanne here. Yes, I think one of the things that we found, and I think we see all the time, is that salt cod or salted fish of any kind shows up in almost every island, whether as a salt fish fritter or an akra in Trinidad cake, or a version of a salt fish cake in Barbados, or as ackee and salt fish as a breakfast dish in Jamaica. You see that prevalence of salted fish and salted meats, which very much were the things that would have probably been readily available to travel from the colonies over to the islands. Of course, we never had refrigeration, so obviously salting and curing them was a way of preserving them. And so what that sort of did for us was we looked at, where do we eat? Why do we eat? And, you know, how come we eat the foods that we do? And it speaks to the story of a combination of a slave history that all the islands share and a colonial history that, whether it was, you know, French or British or Spanish, the two aspects combine to make up the menu that we all eat and we all share.
There's also the sugar history reflected as well, right? Lots of, in different variations.
Yes, absolutely. Michelle here. You have, every island has a sort of a rum that they produce and all the derivatives of sugar. You know, you'll see our versions of sweets that were, you know, rudimentary, rustic, local sweets that would have been made from limited ingredients that really only changed in methodology of preparation based on availability of equipment. So within the kitchens of the great houses, you may have found a guisada, which is sort of a pastry crust with a coconut filling inside with sugar, and that would be because they would have had access to ovens and they would have had access to other things. But then at the same time, there would have been a more rustic preparation of that, which would have been a coconut drop, which is coconut pieces cooked down in brown sugar over an open flame, and all you really need was a pot and some fire. So across the islands, there are, you know, versions of these sweets and these savory dishes that we all consume every day.
One thing about, I think, this cuisine is everyone sort of has a grandmother who does it, right? Who cooks it well. Mm-hmm. And when you were trying to make recipes for the book, in some way, were you trying to reflect professionalized cooking coming out of the Caribbean and how that's changed over the years?
I think in the recipes, we try to tell our story based off of our years in running restaurants and catering. We also try to, I think, respect that there is a place for tradition and that, just as you say, many of our grandmothers and aunts have cooked a certain kind of food, which is generally more of a one pot, heavier meals with lots of starch and lots of gravy. And we've included a variety of different porridges because, as you would well know, I think, Audie, if you grew up in a Jamaican household.
Yes, lots of
cornmeal porridge, green banana porridge, peanut porridge, hominy porridge defines many a child's breakfast throughout Jamaica. And so we've tried to include the things that remind us of home and that are special and rustic, but then look also at how do we create newer, more sophisticated, more modern preparations that anybody can appreciate, whether or not they are Caribbean or Jamaican. And I think, as you had said in the beginning of the segment when you introduced us, is that, you know, we've been given this bad rap of only being about jerk, a very dried up, brown, ordinary food. And it's not the truth. Our food can be extremely sexy. It can be extremely healthy. It can be easily done. And I think we tried to show that and I think showcase that throughout the book. But also recognizing that there is still the space for a great Sunday lunch where you have your curry goat or your oxtail or, you know, your suckling pig or your crackling on your pig, because everything has its place. But I think what has happened is while we have become more modern in our lifestyle and in our approach, we have not represented the food in a modern way, but still kept authentic with the ingredients and the flavors. And I think that's what we have tried to do.
Well, Suzanne and Michelle Rizzo, I hope sometime I can crash your house.
Anytime. You're welcome anytime.
Suzanne and Michelle Rizzo, they're the authors of Caribbean Potluck. They spoke to us from New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
And if you want to tackle the whole snapper with mojito oil, head over to our food blog, The Salt, at npr.org.